This is PESA 5770, 2010, Step-by-Step Laws of the Seder. So you have your sheet that has all the times, amounts, and all the halachas. Everything that's on here, pretty much we're going to cover in here in much more detail. It's really advisable that you take this sheet, I'm going to post it on the website as well, and look it over before the Seder, because if you look it over, you'll see all the different halachas, how we paskin l'chatchila b'di'eved, what you should do in advance of the Seder, the different shiurim, the times, we're going to discuss everything, and running right through the entire Seder. It's very, very helpful. Okay, let's begin. There's a lot to cover tonight. I think we're going to do even more than we have in years past. We'll start with the fact that we do not begin the Seder until after Tzeis HaKochavim, until the stars come out. Two reasons for this. Kiddush has to be said. It's Kiddush B'makom Suda. It's Kiddush at a time when you can eat the meal. And you can't eat the meal until after Tzeis HaKochavim. So Kiddush B'makom Suda means it has to be Kiddush at a time when it's fit to eat the meal. One reason. The other reason is because Kiddush is one of the four cups that we're going to drink that night, one of the Arba Kosos. And the Arba Kosos are sort of dragged after the Matzah Maror, Korban Pesach, etc., which, of course, we don't have Korban Pesach, but Afikomen, which we have in place of that. So therefore, the Arba Kosos also have to be after Tzeis HaKochavim. So that's the first thing. We can't make Kiddush. Shua won't be out before then, but it will be timed so that we can get home pretty close to Tzeis HaKochavim a little bit after, to begin the Seder right away. Women are obligated for all the mitzvahs of the night, even though they are mitzvahs asei shehazman grama, positive time-bound commandments. And normally we say women are exempt from these types of commandments. On this night, women are obligated in every single mitzvah, sha'af hein hayu ba'oso hanes. They too were involved in the miracle, that is, Paro decreed against the women. They were suffering in the Shibud Mitzrayim, and since they were suffering and saved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have an obligation, like the men, to recognize everything that Hashem did. Now, understanding that the women will be involved in helping to facilitate the running of the Seder, and therefore might need to be back and forth in the kitchen at various times, organizing things, so there will be parts that they will, by necessity, miss together with the reading of everybody. If they can say it themselves to catch up, beautiful. However, there are the certain minimum parts of the Seder that you absolutely need to hear or read, and the rest, if you missed, okay, so you missed it. But here are the minimum for the women to be able to hear. Kiddush, that's the first. And then, from Rabban Gamliel, right, at the end, toward the end of the Haggadah, Rabban Gamliel used to say, whoever doesn't say these three things, Pesach Matzah Moror, hasn't fulfilled his obligation of Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim. So, from Rabban Gamliel until the end of the drinking of the second cup, so Kiddush, and then from Rabban Gamliel to the end of the drinking of the second cup is the minimum for the women to hear. It's not a lot. It's not a lot. She should also try to hear the description of the 10 plagues. The reason for the description of the 10 plagues, like, it's not a necessity, but it's advised, is because there we see all the chesed and all the wonders that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael in Egypt, and that arouses our desire to be makir tov, to express our appreciation to Hashem, which is what the Seder is all about. So therefore, to hear the 10 plagues in all of its detail, to know how we were suffering and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us, and midah keneged midah, measure for measure, everything was designed so perfectly, that also is important to hear. Let's go over the shiurim, the measures of the night. How much we have to eat, how much we have to drink, and times, etc. First of all, Dalet Kosos, four cups. So the minimum of our cup is going to be 3.3 ounces. That's a revius. Our cup has to be at least that big. The minimum to drink to fulfill the mitzvah is going to be rove revius, which is the majority of a revius. So the majority of 3.3 ounces. That's in order just to fulfill the mitzvah. So the very minimum that you could drink would be the majority of 3.3. What was it? What did we say? 1.7 ounces, I think we said. Yeah, 1.7 ounces. So 1.7 ounces, that would be the minimum. So you drink your first cup, 1.7 ounces. You drink your second, 1.7 ounces. You drink your third, 1.7 ounces. Now the fourth one is different than all the other cups. Because the fourth one, we're going to want to say a bracha achrona. You can only say a bracha achrona if you drink a whole revius. Therefore, for the fourth cup, you must drink 3.3 ounces. Otherwise, you can't say the bracha achrona. Okay, that's the bare minimum. We're going to discuss this in more detail coming up. For a child, for chinuch, for education, these measures I'm only giving you is only applied this year. If it would be a Friday night Seder, so then the first cup would have to be 4.4 ounces, 4.42 ounces to be precise. But it's not a Friday night Seder, so let's not worry about it this year, okay? For chinuch, for a child 5 or 6 years old, he only or she only needs to drink a half an ounce. A half an ounce of wine, or half an ounce of grape juice, or half an ounce of chamar medina. Chamar medina defined as a drink which is drunk socially, not for thirst. Tea, coffee suffice for chamar medina. I don't know too many 5 or 6 year olds that enjoy drinking tea or coffee. Grape juice is great for 5 or 6 year olds. Okay. Matzah and moror. We're going to discuss this all in detail. I just want to go through the shiurim now. Matzah and moror. The minimum to eat is a kezias, an olive size. Now, when it comes to the motzi matzah, which is the piece that you eat after you wash toward the end of the Haggadah part, and the afikomen, the piece should be 7 inches by 6 1/4 inches. 7 by 6 1/4 inches, which approximately equals a half of a hand matzah or 2/3 of a machine matzah. Half of a hand matzah, 2/3 of a machine matzah. For korech, which is the sandwich, we eat that zecher lemigdash kehillel, right? We'll talk about that, why we do that, what does that all mean? So for that, we can be a little bit more lenient, and we can eat a piece 7 by 4 inches. Normally, we don't measure on Shabbos or Yom Tov, but here where your measurement is for the sake of a mitzvah, it's permissible. So if you have your matzah measure, right, printed on the back of many Haggadahs, you can measure 7 by 4, 7 by 6 1/4, do that. I know that it's helpful in many places. Sometimes people won't know how much to eat. You say half of a hand matzah, or 2/3 of a machine matzah. And many people are just like, okay, how much is that? And they don't know. So sometimes it's helpful for the Baal Habayis to actually break off, show everybody, this is how much you have to eat, and everybody then does it. When we get to motzi matzah, how it's done exactly, we'll talk about it.
How's korech different than matzah? I didn't...
Because korech is only zecher lemikdash to Hillel. It's only a remembrance. Motzi matzah is the actual mitzvah.
No, but the sizes, it sounded like they were the same.
7 by 4.
7 by 4 for korech. Motzi matzah, 7 by 6 1/4.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that comes out for matzah is half of a hand shmur matzah. So for korech, it's a little less than half.
Yeah. Okay. Like for me, I'm not going to measure.
Right,
I'm
so going to
always eat the just because it's much easier. I'm just saying, if you want to minimize your matzah intake, you know, you have a need to minimize your matzah intake, you can do it in that way. Okay.
You said the minimum is kazait. When is the minimum intake?
What?
You said matzah kazayis.
The minimum for matzah moror is a kazayis. So I'm saying that kazayis comes out to 7 by 6 1/4 inches. Okay? And those are big olives.
Yeah.
I know. Yes. Now, as far as moror is concerned, first of all, the preferred moror to eat is romaine lettuce. Okay? That is the preferred moror to eat, and there's two ways to eat romaine lettuce. You can either eat the entire leaf with a stalk. Problem with that is checking for bugs. You need to spend a lot of time checking for bugs beforehand and have all of your leaves prepared, unless you can find pre-washed, very expensive romaine lettuce. I think it is available, but you can take a look. It's very, very expensive if you can find it. The other way to do it is romaine lettuce stalks. And by stalks, all you do is, and we have this assembly line every single year, my wife buys a case of romaine lettuce, and the boys, they just cut off the leaves, and we only eat the middle stalk. The reason why romaine lettuce is the preferred is because it's just like the exile in Egypt. Romaine lettuce, it starts out sweet, and if you leave it in the ground longer, it gets very bitter. So that is how the exile was. It started out sweet, we were paid, Paro enticed us, and then it got very bitter. So if you use leaves, because it's much thinner than just stalks, so then it's 10 inches by 8 inches of leaf area, including the stalk. If you're only going to use stalks, then it's 3 inches by 5 inches. And so what we do is we cut away the leaves. Washing the stalk is very easy. You take a brush or something, just go over the stalk. They can't attach themselves to the stalk. And then you throw a bunch of stalks in a Ziploc bag, a little bit of ice, and a bunch of bags in the fridge, and then you have all your romaine lettuce. Okay? It's really the best. I think it's the best way to do it.
I'm sorry, Rabbi. You said for the full romaine, it was 10 inches by...
10 by 8.
Okay. Thank you.
10 by 8. Now, if you're going to use horseradish, where, according to some people, it's really a shaila whether you can use horseradish, whether it's even considered, you would make a bracha borei pri adama on horseradish if it's considered. You know, if you want to use it for korech, go ahead and put some of it in together with your sandwich. But I really would strongly not recommend eating horseradish for the moror plain. But if some have a shaila that say you wouldn't make a borei pri adama on the horseradish because it's not really eaten like a vegetable, you need to eat 1.1 ounces of grated horseradish in order to be yotze your mitzvah of moror. It's pretty difficult. It's pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
Not
very
pleasant.
Do you even recommend against it?
I would recommend against it. Absolutely would recommend against it. If you want to use it for korech, which is what we do, we put it in together with some of the moror in our sandwich and we eat it. But I would recommend using it for just your moror.
And this you mean actually the stalk, the horseradish stalk.
The root, you have to
yes.
Yeah, to grate it, yeah, yeah. It's a whole...
It hurts.
Yeah, it's not good. And it's really, you know, whether or not you can even fulfill your mitzvah properly, the time limit, how you're going to do it, it's not so good. Now, the time to eat all of these things, anything that you have to drink, anything that you have to eat, is kedei achilas pras, which is the amount of time that it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread, which varies according to various poskim. Some say, let me just say, luchatchila, you have to try to eat it all babas achas. Babas achas means at one time. So how do you eat your kezias of matzah at one time? You put it in your mouth, you chew it up, you get it all chewed, and then when it's all chewed, you swallow it. That's called eating it at one time, because the eating doesn't go after the chewing, it goes after the swallowing. So once you start swallowing, that's when the clock starts ticking. So with bas achas, you put it in your mouth, put as much in your mouth as you can. If you can fit the whole shear in your mouth, you put it in, you chew it up, and then when you've chewed it up, and you can add a little bit of water if you want to make it go down a little bit better, you can add a little bit of water in your mouth, and then you swallow it, bas achas. Now, you have, that's the preferable. If you can't do it at one time, it should be as fast as 2 minutes and as long as 9 minutes. So what does it mean as short as 2 minutes and as long as 9 minutes? It means you have some poskim who say that the amount of time is 2 minutes. And you have some poskim who say the amount of time is 9 minutes. Obviously, if you want to fulfill the mitzvah according to more poskim, you're going to eat it in a shorter amount of time. The more time you take on that continuum between 2 and 9 minutes, the less poskim you're going to fulfill your mitzvah according to. If you take 9 minutes to eat it, you're going to fulfill it only according to very few poskim. If you eat it 2 minutes, you're going to fulfill it according to everybody. Okay? So you want to really try to do it as expeditiously as possible. This is a serious mitzvah. There's no, like, this is not a social eating. This is avoda. This is real avoda when you're sitting at the table eating.
Are you allowed to practice like a week this week?
Well,
not the day before.
You can. Many people already have the mitzvah not to eat regular, not the minhag, pardon me, not to eat regular matzah now. The halacha is the day of, you don't eat regular matzah. Right. That's the halacha. But many people already have the minhag not to eat it. They want the taste in their mouth to be fresh and like eating b'teyavon with a lust and a desire because of how special the mitzvah is. If you do it with egg matzah, it's not similar. Egg matzah is very soft, so it's not really similar.
You could use salt.
Okay. Now.
You're not with herbs.
Now let's talk about the dalet kosos, the four cups. So I want to go a little bit deeper into the four cups. There are two different opinions, the Ran and the Ramban. The Ran is of the opinion that preferably, and this is what we should do preferably, but according to the Ran, preferably you should drink the entire Revias. Don't rely on drinking Rov Revias. You're supposed to try to drink the entire Revias. Oh, okay. You're supposed to try to drink the entire Revias. According to the Ran, if you drink the majority of the Revias, you have fulfilled your obligation. According to the Ramban, you have to drink the entire kos, no matter how big it is. Even if it holds 10 Revias, you have to drink the entire kos. And if you drink the majority of the kos, then, so according to the Ramban, that's going to be the minimum. So we, l'chatchila, want to paskin like the Ramban. That means we want to drink the entire cup, no matter how big it is. If you want to minimize your drinking, you'll get a cup that holds a Revias. That way you fulfill the mitzvah according to both the Ramban and the Ran. So you get a cup that holds a little bit, around 3.3 or a little bit more. So preferably you'll drink the entire cup, which is a whole Revias, and you'll fulfill the mitzvah according to both the Ran and the Ramban.
Should you make it brimming like a kiddush?
Yeah, like right to the top. It doesn't have to overflow, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Now, b'chol dor v'dor, in each and every generation, chayev adam lirois es atzmai ki'ilu hu yatza mi Mitzrayim. In each generation, every person has to see himself as if he went out of Egypt. As the Pasuk says, Ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeisi mi Mitzrayim. Because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me personally, when I left Egypt. So I've got to do things on this night that demonstrate freedom. One thing that we do on this night that demonstrates freedom is leaning, haseba. So there are many things that we're going to have to do leaning. The other thing that we do on this night that demonstrates freedom is we bring out our finest silverware, our finest table accessories. Everything comes out on the night of the Seder, even though it doesn't on any other night of the year, because Zecher LeMikdash. We remember the destruction of the temple, and we temper our celebration every other night of the year, except on Pesach. On Pesach, everything comes out of the cabinet, the best of the best of whatever we have. Because of these two ideas, because we're going to be leaning, reclining, feeling free, and we bring out the best of whatever we have, there is the potential that a person could be a little bit arrogant in the way he conducts himself. So to temper that, the minhag is that married men wear a kittel, in order to be machnia the lev, in order to humble the heart, so they don't feel the effects of the cherus, the freedom, too much. Okay? So those two ideas are there to balance each other out. When it comes to, if I'm going too fast, stop me. Was that yes, I'm going too fast?
Yeah, just one second. I'm translating from Hebrew.
Oh! Okay. Okay, so now when it comes to the mitzvah of leaning, there are two major opinions in the Rishonim. There is the Rav Yah. The Rav Yah holds, one of the Bali Tosfos, that Bizman Hazeh, in today's time, we don't lean. The fact that nobody leans today is a sign that we just don't lean. We don't hold leaning to be a sign of freedom. But all the other Rishonim hold that the fact that we don't lean today is not that we don't hold leaning to be a sign of freedom. It's that we don't really appreciate true freedom today. But leaning, reclining on a couch really is a true sign of freedom, and we just don't appreciate it. So on the night of the Seder, the halacha is we do have to recline, we do have to lean, and we'll talk about how to do that in a second. But because of the opinion of the Rav Yah, so therefore we will use his opinion for leniencies in various circumstances. Example. Men are going to lean, according to the opinion of most Rishonim, but women are going to accept the opinion of the Rav Yah that says today nobody leans, and the women will conduct themselves according to the Rav Yah that they won't lean. So women, custom is, don't lean at the Seder for anything. Okay? Now...
Is it because of that or because it's not Sanua?
No, but if the halacha was that you had to lean, you had to lean.
So why women and not men?
Because of that, therefore we're going to rely on the opinion of the Rav Yah because of that. Okay? But if it wouldn't be for the Rav Yah, then women would have to lean too. Now, a son in front of his father leans. He doesn't have to ask for permission. It is assumed that the father gives his son permission to lean in front of him, and it's not a pigam, it's not considered disrespectful from the mitzvah of kibud av aim. So a son automatically leans in front of his father. A talmid etzel rabbi, but a student in front of his teacher, it's forbidden to lean unless he gets the permission of the teacher. The teacher has to give permission to the student to lean in front of him. An avel, a person who is a mourner, either they lost somebody on Pesach or, let's say, during the first 30 days. So an avel will lean on Pesach. The way we lean is we lean left, not right, because if you lean right, there's the concern that the food's going to go down the windpipe. Shema Yakim Kana Leveshet, it's going to go down the windpipe. That's a sakana, that's a danger. So we don't lean on the right, we lean left. On the night of the Seder, if you don't have a chair to lean on the table. If you're sitting on the floor, you can lean on your friend's knees. You can't lean on your back, and you can't lean on your front. That's not considered leaning.
This is leaning?
This, yeah. If you're leaning, you really have to show, I mean, it's not just sitting up straight, putting your arm back. There has to be some sort of pronounced leaning, different than what you would normally do. Okay? If you did not lean, these are the areas where you will not have fulfilled your mitzvah if you did not lean. Your kazayas of matzah, for motzi matzah, and we'll talk about how to do that. In other words, if you didn't eat your kazayas of matzah for motzi matzah, you didn't lean, you got to eat another kazayas without a bracha. Leaning. Okay? And the Dalit Kosos. If you didn't lean, so you haven't... We'll talk about Dalit Kosos. That's going to be more complicated what to do. Okay? But that's going to be a problem if you didn't lean. Okay, Dalit Kosos. Four expressions of redemption. V'hotzeisi eschem... I took you out, v'hitzalti eschem, I saved you, v'ga'alti eschem, I redeemed you, v'lakachti eschem, and I took you to me as a people. These are the four expressions of redemption, and because of these four expressions of redemption, it's understood that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he saved us in four distinct, unique ways, and therefore we owe it to him to have four expressions of thanks. And that's why we drink four cups as a way of expressing our thanks to Hashem for taking us out from these four depths of servitude. Now, when it comes to drinking the four cups, technically it is permissible to drink between the first cup, Kiddush, and the second cup, which is going to be after Ha Lachma Anya, just before manishtana. Okay, technically it's permissible. The minhag, however, is that we don't drink between those first and second cups because we're worried, shema yishtaker, maybe you're going to become drunk and not finish the rest of the Seder. Very easy, very likely. So therefore, the default is that we do not drink between the first and the second cup.
Why?
Okay? It is permissible to drink non-intoxicating drinks until the second cup is poured. Once the second cup is poured and you begin darshaning the Haggadah, telling over the story, at that point we don't want to drink anything. It shouldn't be a hefsek, an interruption in the Seder. If you need to, you need to drink water, that's perfectly fine if you need to. Preferably not to drink anything once the second cup is poured and you're involved in the mitzvah. This is a mitzvah midyoraisa of telling over the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So it's preferable not to interrupt it with anything on that night from that point.
If your voice is getting...
Yes, if you need to for the sake of the mitzvah, then you can, for sure. To just drink because, you know, you want to have a drink, so then it's preferred not to. Okay? It's preferred not to. So that's between the first and the second cups. Now, and then we said, once the second cup is poured, so then it's preferable not to drink anything. Between the second cup and the third cup, that's during the su'uda, that's during the meal, then you can drink whatever you want. Be careful. Don't drink too much. And you can even drink intoxicating drink. You can even drink wine at that point, okay? But be careful not to drink too much. But you can, because since you're going to be eating your meal, so we're not afraid that the wine is going to have its intoxicating effect on you. Between the third and fourth cup, and after the fourth cup, it is usur to drink wine at that point. It is usur to drink wine at that point. After the third cup, between the third and the fourth, and after the fourth cup. Now, keeping all that in mind, there is a prohibition of adding to the number of cups that we drink on the night of the Seder. Now, what's called adding to the number of cups? Adding to the number of cups is defined as any time you have to make the bracha of borei peri hagafen on a cup of wine more than four times, that's called adding to the cups. Okay? Drinking wine, if you don't have to make the bracha of borei peri hagafen, is not called adding to the cups you drink. It's only when you have to make the bracha of borei peri hagafen that that's called adding to the cups. Now, let me give you an example of what I mean. Okay? If you have no intention to drink more wine, and then you change your mind, then you're going to have to make a borei peri hagafen. Example. After the third cup, you don't have intention to drink more wine at that point, because it's usur. Mm-hmm. So since it's usur to drink wine after the third cup, you don't have intention to drink wine. If you then wanted to drink another cup, you wouldn't be allowed to, because you would have to make a bracha borei peri hagafen. But wait, why would you want to drink another cup if it's usur to drink wine? The answer is because maybe you forgot to lean when you drank your third cup. So if I forgot to lean, leaning, if you didn't lean when you drank, your drinking is no good. Okay, so here's my situation. I drank my third cup. Whoops, I forgot to lean. Now what do? My drinking was no good. But when I drank that cup, I knew that it was forbidden to drink more wine. Therefore, I had in mind, that I wasn't going to drink any more wine. So now if I want to drink another cup leaning, I've got to make the bracha of borei peri hagafen. You can't do it. Because then it will mean that you will have made now five borei peri hagafens, drank five cups, and that's forbidden. So what we do in that situation, if you forgot to lean on the third cup, there is no way out. You have to rely on the opinion of the Ravya, who says that nobody leans on this night, and therefore, according to him, you will have fulfilled that cup. Similarly, after the fourth cup, there's no more wine. So therefore, what if you forgot to lean? You'll rely on the opinion of the Rav Yam. How about if you forgot to lean on the second cup?
You can
Drink more, because you're allowed to drink after the second cup. That's during the meal.
And no therefore, bracha.
And you don't make a bracha. And there's no bracha bray per guffin, so that's why it's not called adding to the cups. Drink another one and lean. How about after the first cup?
You can't say a bracha.
After the first cup, remember what we said. Technically, it's permissible to drink, but the minhag is... The minhag and the default is that we don't drink after the first cup. So therefore, if after Kiddush you forgot to lean... The minhag is not to drink, so it was your intention not to have another cup. Therefore, if you wanted to have another cup to fix the cup that you drank that you didn't lean for, you're going to have to make another bray priya guffin.
Problem.
That's a problem. Mm-hmm. So therefore, everybody should have in mind at Kiddush, and the Baal HaBayis should announce at Kiddush, that everybody should have in mind, if you need to drink another cup because you forgot to lean, you will be able to drink another cup, and you have that in mind.
So announce that the first cup, have in mind to have a second extra cup.
If you need to, because you didn't lean.
If you forget to lean.
That's it.
I think we'll have 20% brandy to give to somebody.
Repeat how you said it. That was nice. Have in mind...
Have in mind to have extra cup if you forget to lean.
Can a woman conduct a seder even if there's a man but that has no idea about this?
Of course.
Of course.
Yes. Now your seder plate. There's two different minhagim to set up the seder plate. One is like the Ramah. You take a look. A lot of the stuff I'm not going to cover tonight because it's in your Haggadah and you just go through, you know, three drops for Dam, Eish, Vesimra. So I'm not going to go through that stuff tonight. But the seder plate, the Ramah has it set up in order that She'ein Ma'avir Na'al Mitzvahs. The first mitzvah that comes to you, that's how it's closest to you. The next mitzvah is the next one farther. And then it goes around for the next mitzvah that you're going to come to. That's how the Ramah set it up. The Arizal has it set up based on a Kabbalistic idea. If you want to choose the Arizals, that's very popular. The Ramah is certainly halachically correct. Whichever minhag you like to choose, that's perfectly good and well. Okay. Kiddush.
Can we trust the plate that we own?
Yeah.
But it's just how you face it then.
Yeah.
Well, is the order different?
Yeah, the order is going to be different between the Ramah and the Arizal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you take a look at how the Ramah, how it's set up. Sometimes in the front of the Haggadah, they have the different pictures.
And that would be Ramah or Arizal?
You can do either one.
No, but...
Depends on the Haggadah.
Yeah, it would depend on the Haggadah. Okay. Usually they have both. Okay, now...
Plates these days are...
I don't know. It depends.
Okay, but we can rely on the plate.
Yeah.
You might have an upper course plate.
I might.
I wouldn't rely on the plate. Call your rabbi.
Okay. I do plate inspections. But not Erev Pesach.
But, those little... which of the Haggadahs? You know, the sort of burnt orange and yellow ones that we all use. Oh, okay. Is that... That's an acceptable layout?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think next year I should do a template plate. Okay.
But Maxwell House doesn't have a picture of the Seder plate.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so time to change your Haggadah then.
Yeah.
Okay.
The translation from the 40s.
Harold sells beautiful Haggadahs.
Okay, we got to get the Starbucks Haggadah now. Okay. Okay, Kiddush. Since we want to demonstrate cheirus, so it's preferable that somebody other than yourself pour your cup of wine. So your neighbor pour your cup of wine for you. Right? You don't want to pour yours because a person who's really free and royal, he's going to have somebody else pour his wine. So your neighbor can pour your wine. When you make Kiddush, besides the intent that we just described, that if you need to drink again because you didn't lean, you should also announce to everybody that you should have kavana for the mitzvah of the four cups, because that's what Kiddush is, the first of the four cups, and for the mitzvah of Kiddush. Those are the two things you should think about before you make Kiddush. Have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah of the Arba Kosos and Kiddush. A lot of what we do in Judaism is based on the intent that we have. Intent is very important. Urchatz, we wash our hands without a bracha. What's the reason that we wash our hands without a bracha at this point? We're about to dip a vegetable in a liquid. Well, there is, at least in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, you had to wash with a bracha when you dipped a vegetable in a liquid, just like we wash when we eat bread. Tosfos says, Bizman hazeh, in today's time, it's not the halacha. We don't wash when we dip a vegetable or a fruit, let's say, in a liquid. So according to Tosfos, and this is how most people paskin the rest of the year, we don't wash when we dip a vegetable. This night, we wash when we dip our vegetable, kedei sheyishalu hatinokos, in order to get the children to ask. You know, I know that my kids, your kids, go to a school where they're going to learn every single step along the way, and they know exactly what's coming up. And if I wouldn't wash, they're going to say, Tati, how come you're not washing? They're not going to look at the washing as being unusual. They would look if I forgot to wash as being unusual. I would just love to do the Seder on another night other than the Seder and get the kids to ask, what are you doing? You're washing. You don't wash. Nobody washes after you have Kiddush, before you make Hamotzi. What are you doing? But on the night of the Seder, you know, because they learn it in school, so it becomes very ordinary for them. Yeah.
For Or Hatch, we have normally gotten up and gone to the sink to wash.
That's okay, but yes, you should bring a basin with a cup for the Baal HaBayis.
Okay.
Bring a cup with a basin to the Baal HaBayis and you should wash at his seat, at the very least.
Why is that?
Because it's a night of Cheirus, it's a night of freedom, and he is the head of the Seder, the head of the table. And therefore, it should be, if you want to do it for him alone, or if you want to do it for, let's say, all of the men, to do it like that.
Okay, does a mother do it for her son then? If there's just a couple of, or does a son bring the washing to the father? Like, what is it?
The son can bring it to the father. There's no rules about this.
Okay.
You have to, there's no rules about this. If you want just the father to wash and everybody else wash in the house, that's fine.
But everybody has to wash, not just, I mean, the Baal HaBayis
right.
can do it.
Everybody has to wash.
But if everybody wants to go to the sink, fine. The Baal
HaBayis right.
perhaps should do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Karpas. Now, what are we eating karpas now for? The only reason why we're eating karpas is kedeshi yeshalu hatinokos, in order to get the children to ask. Because nobody eats or dips anything after you make Kiddush, before you make Hamotzi, nobody does that. So the whole idea of eating the karpas now again is to get the children to ask a question. Now this karpas, we're going to make a bracha of borei pri adama. Keep in mind, we haven't eaten Hamotzi yet, haven't eaten bread, so you got to make a bracha on it. We're going to choose something that's borei pri adama, because there is a concern that the moror that we're going to eat later is not included in the hamotzi, because it's not coming machmas hasud, it's not coming because of the meal. It's a separate thing. So if the moror that we're eating later is not coming because of the meal, so then there's a concern. You got to make a borei pri hadama on that moror. So what we're going to do is we're going to choose something for karpas, which is the same bracha as the moror, and have in mind when I make the borei pri hadama on the karpas, it should cover the moror as well. And you announce that to everybody. Have in mind when you say the borei pri hadama on the karpas, that this should cover the moror.
That's in the siddurs, isn't it?
Maybe not. It depends on which haggadah you're using.
Okay.
You can dip your karpas. We dip it in either a vinegar, which is kosher lepesach, some type, salt water, or some wine. But we don't dip it in charoses, because charoses is reserved specifically for the moror. According to most people, we don't lean when we eat the karpas, even though you would think that you would lean. And the reason why you would think you would lean is because the purpose of karpas is to be an appetizer. What's an appetizer?
Something that stimulates.
It stimulates your appetite. We want to eat with a hearty appetite tonight. This is cheirus. This is freedom. So that's the whole purpose of the karpas. But even so, because we're going to dip it in salt water or vinegar to remember the tears, the hardships, so for that, we don't lean. Now, because it is an appetizer, therefore, It is preferable for karpas that it should be A, because the Gemara calls it a yerek, which yarok means green, a green vegetable, and it should be something which is eaten raw, because only raw vegetables stimulate the appetite. Cooked vegetables satiate. So therefore, don't eat things like potato. Potato is not a good vegetable to eat for karpas, because A, it's not green, and B, it satiates, it doesn't stimulate the appetite. Mm-hmm. Okay, it was the custom in Russia, they couldn't get green vegetables, that's where it started, but it really, halachically, is not the best vegetable to use for karpas. We want to eat less than a kazayas, because since we are coming before the hamotzi, if we eat a kazayas, then there's a real question that maybe we have to make an after bracha, because the birkas hamazon that we're going to say at the end of the Seder is not going to cover this, because it wasn't part of the meal. So therefore, I would have to say an after bracha. I have to say an after bracha, so then my borei pri adama that I made is not going to work for the moror. So you try to eat less than a kazayas of this karpas. Even if you ate more than a kazayas, still don't say an after bracha. But l'chatchila, don't eat a kazayas of the karpas.
You say celery is a good one.
Celery is great.
Green bell pepper, okay?
Yeah.
It's green.
Yeah.
It's raw.
I've never seen people use it, but I don't see why not.
I mean, if people have a distaste for celery.
Yeah, then you can use something like that. Absolutely.
And how much celery would be less than a kazayas, or does it matters like how much you have at that point.
Just make a small little cuts, you know, throw little pieces.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, like a piece the size of your finger, your thumbnail,
right.
That
okay.
Type of a thing. Okay, yachatz, break the middle matzah. The reason why we break the middle matzah, because it's lechem oni. Lechem oni has two different interpretations. It's lechem sha'onim alav dvarim harbe. It's the bread that sha'onim alav dvarim harbe, that we say many things over, but lechem oni from the word ani, it's the poor man's bread. And a poor man, darko shel ani beprusa, it's the way of an ani to only eat a piece. He doesn't eat the whole thing, he eats a little bit and puts away a little bit for later when he won't have. The middle matzah is the piece that will be used for al achilas matzah. Al achilas matzah is the bracha for the mitzvah. You see, on this night, we talked about this during the week when we were the shir between Mincha and Marv. On Friday night, you have a mitzvah. On any other night of the year, you have a mitzvah to eat a suda. But you don't have a mitzvah to eat bread per se. In other words, to be considered that I eat a suda, I just have to eat a kazayas of bread, b'chdei achilas pras. At some time during that meal, I need to eat a kazayas, b'chdei achilas pras. A kazayas between 2 and 9 minutes. But on this night, we have a special mitzvah. Besides eating a suda, we have a mitzvah to eat the matzah. And because you have a mitzvah to eat the matzah, so not only are we going to say the bracha of hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz, we're going to say another bracha of asher kedushanu b'mitzvah yisavet zivanu al achilas matzah, special mitzvah. Therefore, since the purpose of eating this matzah is not just so that I should say that I ate a meal tonight, a suda, but I have to eat the matzah, then I have to eat that matzah right away. I have to eat it with certain conditions and time limits and certain amounts, different than the rest of the year. Now, the matzah that's going to be the al achilas matzah, the primary one, is going to be that middle matzah. So we break the middle matzah for al achilas matzah. The bigger half we put away for afikomen, and the smaller half remains in between my top and bottom matzah. So the bigger half gets wrapped up in a bag, because when the Jews left Egypt, they took their dough, they wrapped it up in a bag, in their skirts, in the hems of their skirts, and they took it with them. So too, we take the afikoman and we wrap it up in a bag. Now we are on Magid. When we do Magid, perhaps, you know, this gets missed by everybody, and I don't think it says this in 90% of the Haggadahs. This is where the mitzvah midyoraisa, the Torah commandment of Vihigarata Levincha, say it over, teach it to your children, begins right now with Magid. So you have to have in mind, I'm going to fulfill the Torah commandment of Magid. This is more important than the Arbakosas. Arbakosas is Midirabanan. Magid is Midiraisa. This is the Torah commandment of Sipor Yitzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, have in mind that the mitzvah Sipor Yitz Mitzrayim you're going to fulfill at this point The Haggadah has to be said by Chatzos. If the Haggadah was not concluded by Chatzos, which Chatzos this year is 1:31 a.m., if you didn't finish your Haggadah by Chatzos, then when you get to the end of the Haggadah and you have the bracha of Geula at the end, you'll say that without shame u'malchus. In other words, you're going to say Baruch Atah. You're not going to say Hashem. You're not going to say God's name. Elokeinu. You're not going to say it with God's name. Because since it's after Chatzos, if you forget, if you didn't finish the Haggadah by Chatzos, you can't make that concluding bracha with Hashem's name. So you got to finish the Haggadah, that first part, by Chatzos. Okay?
I have a question about Magid.
Yeah.
Our children are too young to stay up that late. We can make, can we make like a pre-seder to go through to fulfill that mitzvah?
No, don't do a pre-seder. Don't do it at a different time. The main part for your children to hear is through Manishtana, and then the answer to Manishtana, Avadim Hayinu. Okay. And once they've heard that, that's the main thing for the children to hear.
Okay?
So the way to do it with children is, again, asking them questions, rewarding them, giving them marshmallows or candies. Do you know anybody who sells candy?
No.
Oh, if you knew somebody who sells candy, get some good candy for the Seder.
I've got some.
And, huh?
I've got some.
You know somebody who sells good candy?
I've got some.
Oh, Albertsons. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think he knows somebody who sells good candy, too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so candies. When they give, when they answer a question right, give them a candy. You see, when you start giving them, rewarding them with candies, they're going to want it. Tati, Abba, Father, ask me another question. I want another candy, and you're going to get them. And if you can keep them up through Avadim Hayinu, that's great.
Doesn't Sarah Rachel Broderick sell good candy, kosher for Pesach?
Yeah, would you?
Say it sweetly.
You get them those grasshoppers, you get them all those little things.
Yeah, the marzipan stuff. Yeah.
I was being facetious. Josh knows candy better than anybody.
You're in the candy business.
Yes, his family business is candy. Okay. The second cup now comes at the end of the Haggadah. You make a bracha borei pri hagafen beforehand. You lean to your left, and there's no after bracha. It is a tremendous sense of accomplishment when you get to that second cup after that full Haggadah and you've done it and you feel, oh, what unbelievable. Everybody gets up to wash.
And if you forget to lean, drink a second cup.
And if you forget to lean, drink a second cup. Yep. Now, rachtza. Rachtza is everybody washes with a bracha. This is al netilas yadayim. Motzi matzah. Okay, this is complicated. Motzi matzah is complicated. Okay, this we need to just spend a little bit of time. I'm going to go slowly over here. First of all, on the night of the Seder, men and women are obligated to eat matzah, shmura matzah. The rest of this, the rest of Pesach, you don't have to eat matzah. But on the night of the Seder, you have to eat matzah. And that matzah is shmura matzah. So you have to make sure you have shmura matzah. It could be hand matzah, it could be machine matzah, as long as it's shmura matzah on the night of the Seder. Now, just to tell you, the rest of Pesach, there's no obligation to eat matzah. But the Vilna Gaon holds that there is a mitzvah that you do fulfill by eating matzah the rest of Pesach. It's not obligatory, but you do fulfill a mitzvah. And therefore, according to the Gra, which many people are strict to hold his opinion, since you do fulfill a mitzvah the rest of Pesach by eating matzah, it's only going to be the matzah that you use on the night of the Seder. So if you eat non-shmura for the rest of Pesach, you're not going to fulfill a mitzvah. If you eat shmura matzah the rest of Pesach, at any time, according to the Gra, you fulfill a mitzvah.
But if the Gra was paying what we're paying for matzah,
he wouldn't change his mind.
What mitzvah are we fulfilling?
Because the Vilna Gaon understands that the difference between the night of the Seder and the rest of Pesach is, on the night of the Seder you have an obligation to eat matzah. It's called a mitzvah chiyuvis, obligatory mitzvah. The rest of Pesach, it's called a mitzvah kiyumis, That means you have no obligation to eat matzah, but if you do eat it, you fulfill a mitzvah. Just like tzitzis. You don't have an obligation to wear tzitzis per se. It's if you wear a four-corner garment, then you have to put tzitzis on it. But you don't have to wear the four-corner garment. Wear a round garment. You don't have to wear tzitzis. Technically speaking, okay, the minig is to wear tzitzis. I'm talking technically speaking. So it's the same thing. The rest of Pesach, you don't have to eat matzah, but if you're going to eat matzah, so according to the Gra, you want to fulfill the mitzvah, eat shmur matzah.
But it can be machine. It doesn't have to be
hand. Of course,
hand.
Absolutely.
Even if you use hand at the Seder, you can use machine.
You can use either one at any time.
Okay.
Wait, so if you don't go by the Vilna Gaon and you eat anyway matzah,
even if you do go by the Vilna Gaon, even if you do go by the Vilna Gaon and you eat regular matzah, non-shmur matzah, the rest of Pesach, you haven't done anything wrong.
Right.
You just haven't fulfilled. You haven't done that mitzvah. That's all.
Right.
Now, what's the, if you will, the kazayas, the shear? Sorry, not the shear for fulfilling the mitzvah during the rest.
It's the same. It's the same. You know, seven. Let's say 7x4. Whatever it is, you know, it's the same. That's a kazayas, but it's not. We're not going to go with all of the strictness like on the night of the Seder. It's just that if you want to fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah, it's got to be shmur matzah. So I'm just telling you that if you want to be strict like the Vilna Gaon, invest in shmur matzah. Okay, let's go on. We're not going to take any more time with this. Now, the procedure for motzi matzah. You hold three matzahs in your hand. You wash now, okay? You're holding three matzahs. This is the Bala Bias. You hold three matzahs in your hand, the broken pieces in between. You have two shleimos, you have two full matzahs for Lechem Mishnah. Lechem Mishnah has to be two complete matzahs. So that's going to be the top one and the bottom one. And you have the one broken one, and that's going to be for Lechem Oni, the poor man's bread. That's going to be for Alechilas Matzah, okay? So I'm holding three in my hand. You make the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, and you put down the bottom matzah. Okay. Then you make the bracha Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kedeshanu B'Mitzvah Yisav Tzivanu Al Achilas Matzah on the middle broken and top matzah, because you put down the bottom one, so you're holding the top two now, okay? Top one is full, middle one is broken. You have in mind for those two, and you have in mind when you say this bracha of Alochilas Matzah for the Afikomen.
When did you break the middle one?
You broke it way back. We talked about it, Yachatz, breaking the middle matzah after the Karpas.
Okay.
Okay? So you have in mind when you make that bracha of Alochilas Matzah for the eating of the matzah now and for the afikomen, because according to the Rashbam, the main mitzvah of eating the matzah happens at afikomen time, not at this time. Okay, the mitzvah of eating matzah happens then, not now. Okay. You're going to eat from the whole and from the broken matzah. Now here is where it gets a little bit tricky, and listen to what happens. You're supposed to have in mind for the particular matzah, each bracha has to attach itself to a special matzah. Okay? Now, the bottom matzah that I dropped, I'm going to be using for korech, for the sandwich. So, I have two matzahs left. I have the top matzah and I have the middle matzah. One of those matzahs, my bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz went on one of those matzahs. On one of them. And on the other one, my bracha of Alochilas Matzah went on that one. Some say Hamotzi goes on the top and Alochilas Matzah goes on the middle. There are others who say it's the reverse, that Alochilas Matzah goes on the top and Hamotzi goes on the middle. Therefore, you should have in mind that and this is what you should do, when you make the bracha of Hamotzi, that Hamotzi goes on both the top and the middle, and my Alochilas Matzah goes on the top and the middle. So since you don't know, and I'm talking just the one who's leading the Seder over here, since you don't know which one the Hamotzi went on and which one Alochilas Matzah goes on, so you're going to want to eat now a kazayas. You're going to want to eat a kazayas from the matzah's mitzvah, the one alochilas matzah, but it could be was the middle, it could be was the top. So the one who's leading the Seder is going to have to eat two kazesim. He eats two kazesim.
Lucky.
Okay, if you want to fulfill this according to, with all the hidurim, with all of the beautification of the mitzvah possible, the one who's leading the Seder will now eat two kazesim leaning. One from the top and one from the broken middle piece.
You don't get double the time.
And you don't get double the time. You have to eat the two kazesim. Okay, so you have to be extra fast. Now, bidi evit, if you only ate one from a combination of the both, you fulfilled your mitzvah, bidi evit. But luchatzchila, you want to eat one from the top and one from the bottom, because since it's a suffix where your brachas were going, you want to make sure to have a kazayas from each one.
Do you lean during the bracha and eating or after the bracha?
You only eat once you start the eating process, putting it in your mouth.
You only lean during the eating.
Yes, you don't lean
and
for the bracha.
And drinking as well.
Yes.
So for the bracha, you can be straight up.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Rabbi, question.
Yeah.
When you have the Baal HaBayis has a Seder plate, and other men at the table also have their own Seder plates, who does the brachas? How do you handle that?
You really, other men, I'm not going to say, they don't, it's not that they can't have their Seder plates, but it's really totally superfluous. You really only need one Seder plate,
right.
And then you just need extra matzahs at the table. That's all you need. And so what happens is he's going to eat his matzah, his kazayas from the broken and from the top, and then from the leftovers you take tiny little pieces and you pass it around, and everybody else will be mashlim, will fulfill their kazayas with the matzahs really that's in front of them. That's
okay.
All you need. You don't need the Seder plates in front of everybody else.
Okay,
yeah.
But there isn't a kazayas of the middle one.
Well, there isn't a kazayas of the middle one because it's the smaller piece, so you eat whatever you're going to eat from that, as much as you can eat, plus the bigger one, and then you're going to be mashlim, you're going to fulfill it with other matzahs that are in front of you.
But nobody else then gets any from the middle.
That's okay. That's okay. It's not something which is strictly necessary. You just take from the top and you break it up and you send it along.
So the Baal HaBayis eats the whole bottom, the whole middle one.
No, half of the middle one, because the other half's
well,
half is...
Well, no, not half the middle one, because the middle one is less than a half
less
already. So you leave over a tiny little bit. You eat most of it, and you leave over a tiny little bit and send it along its way, and you eat, let's say, a half from the top one and send the rest along its way, and everybody else makes up.
So there's absolutely no way to fulfill the opinion that the bracha is on the middle one.
Well, you're still going to eat the majority of... You're still going to eat... As you know, we're going to be strict with that kazayas. So according to many opinions, even that little bit is still going to be a kazayas according to many opinions. But we're not going to rely on that for the amount of hamotzi. You following what I'm saying?
No.
Okay, it doesn't matter. That's still going to be a kazayas according to many opinions, but we're not going to rely on that opinion because it's a Torah commandment. So we're going to we want you to eat the full kazayas, which the full kazayas with all the hidurim is going to be half of a hand matzah.
Right, so you've got to eat two halves.
So in this case, two kazayasim. But even that little bit that's in the middle is going to be kazayas according to many opinions.
Okay.
Okay?
So I still have to eat the whole middle
one. You take, cut off a little piece and send it along the way for people to eat. And the same with the top one, you send the half along the way. But
okay.
Basically, you're going to eat almost all of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You too?
Yeah.
Okay. Freedom hurts.
Is it more important when
freedom
you're
hurts.
Sending around the
Nothing's
half of the
free.
Top and whatever of the bottom, is it more important that the men at the table get the bigger
no.
chunks? Or just
no, no.
As long as everybody gets some piece.
Everybody has
each.
The same obligation.
Okay.
Yep, everybody has the same obligation.
All the same.
Hmm?
It can hurt all the same.
Yep. From the time that we wash until after Korech, okay, from Rachtza until after Korech, we don't talk about anything that is not directly related to the Suda. In order that the bracha of Alachilas Matzah and the bracha of the Moror should work for the Korech as well. Okay? Now, in Temple times, Korech, which is the sandwich, was the Iker Mitzvah. Because Korech, you were taking Korban Pesach, Pesach sacrifice. You were taking matzah and moror, al matzahs umoroyrim yoichluhu. You eat them together, the three of them together. Okay? That was how you fulfilled your mitzvah. We don't do that anymore.
It used to be a lufa rather than a cardboard. according to Rabbi Orlovsky, all right,
yeah,
you had a shawarma, and this used to be a good religion.
Okay, fine. That's possible. That is definitely possible. Okay, but we don't do that today. But we still want that the matzah that I'm going to eat with korech and the maror that I'm going to eat with korech, that my brachas should work for that. And therefore, we're not going to make an interruption by talking unnecessarily. So no talking unnecessarily about anything that doesn't have to do with the suda from the time you wash until korech. Now, maror. Before we go to maror, the minig is not to dip our matzah in salt, okay? Not to dip the matzah in salt. Most people have the minig not to use salt on the night of the Seder because lechem oni, poor man's bread, doesn't have salt. So therefore, most people have the minig. Rav Moshe Feinstein used to use salt, but most people have the minig not to use salt. On the night of the Seder, huh? If it's okay, if you have a minig to use it, that's fine. Have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah kasher tziva Hashem as Hashem commanded me to fulfill the mitzvah of hamotzi when you eat.
Question
okay?
For you, Rabbi.
Yeah.
We always use salt, eh? Just because bread, salt, uses.
Right, but there's a reason not to use it on the night of the Seder.
It's okay if we stop using salt?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, on the night of the Seder, there's more of a reason not to than on other nights. Okay? Because lechem oni.
Okay.
So it's okay to change what we've been doing.
Yeah.
Okay, but you can put salt on the table like for the suda itself.
Yes.
There's no problem with
yes,
that.
Yes, no problem.
Okay.
No problem. Moror. So the moror is only midrabanan. And the reason why it's only midrabanan, because really it was supposed to be eaten together with the korban pesach and matzah. When you don't have korban pesach, so you don't have the mitzvah of moror. You still have the mitzvah of matzah, that's from the Torah, but you don't have the mitzvah of moror. So moror that we eat today is only midrabanan. So the kazayas of the moror, again, if you're eating romaine lettuce, 8 by 10 inches if you're eating the leaf, 3 by 5 inches if you're eating the stalks. You take that kazayas, you dip it in the charoses, you shake off the charoses. You don't want to eat the charoses. It's not about making your moror taste delicious with the charoses. It's about remembering tachas hatapuach ariticha, that under the apple tree, that we were aroused to have the children out in the fields. That's one of the reasons for dipping it in the moror, in the charoses. The other reason is because sometimes it can be so bitter that we want to just remove the fierce bitterness of the moror. But really, we're not about eating charoses and we shake it off. We make the bracha of al achilas moror. That means bracha tashem alakinu melech olam. Sher kedushanu b'mitzvah yisav etzivanu al achilas moror. We don't make a bracha boroi pri adama because we already made that when we ate our karpas. Korech. This is one of the least understood parts of the Seder. Korech. The sandwich. Now, in temple times, they would eat the Pesach Matzah Moror. And all three were a mitzvah midyaraisa, a Torah commandment. And that's where the main mitzvah of eating matzah was. You might have said hamotzi at the beginning, but the al achilas matzah was on the korech. Alright? The moror was the moror that you ate in that sandwich. Today, we do it all separate. We're going to eat hamotzi separate. We're going to eat moror separate, and then we do the sandwich. What's going on? So the answer is like this. When you don't have korban pesach, moror is really not a mitzvah. Matzah is a mitzvah, but moror is not a mitzvah. The rabbis made it a mitzvah, moror. So it's mitzvah midrabanan. So there's a rule that we say when you have something that's a mitzvah and something that's not a mitzvah, and you eat them together, the taste of the non-mitzvah nullifies the taste of the mitzvah. So the moror opposite the matzah is like a non-mitzvah corresponding to a mitzvah. This is derabanan and this is deraisa. So therefore you're not allowed to eat the moror together with the matzah because the moror will nullify the taste of the matzah. This is non-mitzvah, this is mitzvah. Okay? So therefore, what you need to do today, because no korban pesach, we need to eat matzah separate, so its taste doesn't get nullified. We need to eat the moror separate, so its taste is, you know, because you can't eat it together with the matzah. But then, so we don't forget how we used to do it when we had a Beis HaMikdash, so then we put it all three together, and we say, Zecher LeMikdash Kehillel, a remembrance to the way that we used to do it when we had a Beis HaMikdash. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fine. We use the bottom matzah, the one that we dropped, for that sandwich. We're going to use kazayas of matzah, kazayas of moror, that's two kazesim. Put the moror in the charosis. Don't put the charosis in the sandwich. You put it in, you shake it off, put the moror in. If you want to sprinkle it with crane at this point, it makes for a little bit of a wake-up, right?
Kalabai's double at this too?
No. No, he's just going to, well, everybody's going to eat two kazaysim, because it's going to be a kazayas of moror,
right,
and a kazayas of matzah.
But the leader's not going to have four kazaysim.
No. And you lean when you eat this.
I remember you were hoping.
if you didn't lean when you ate your korech, you're okay, you don't have to repeat it. You don't repeat korech if you didn't lean. Okay, we are getting to the end. Shulchan Orech, the meal. Please don't eat too much when you get to Shulchan Orech. I'm telling you, when I went to my Rosh Yeshiva's house for Seder, Shulchan Orech was we'll talk about the beitzim, the eggs and salt water, okay? It was eggs and salt water. It was a tiny little piece of chicken and a vegetable, and that was it. When you eat all the shiurim, all the measures of the matzah, the moror, the korech, and the balabais is eating double, and you're doing four cups, and there's no room to eat. You only have room if you're not eating everything else properly.
Right.
It's not possible. So this is the smallest meal, typically, of the whole year. Don't eat too much. The other reason is afikomen has to be eaten al hasova, meaning you have to be satiated when you come to your afikomen, but it can't be achilas gasa. Achilas gasa means you're so full that food is like detestable to you at that point. So it's very easy to get to that point. If you eat all the shiurim and you eat a very big meal, you're going to be sick to eat afikomen at that point. At the very least, it's going to be a very big tircha, a big bother, and that's not good either. So please don't eat too much. Don't make too much and don't eat too much at the suda. Good. We don't eat roasted meat for dinner. You'll have a roasted piece of the zroya on the Seder plate, but for dinner, we don't eat roasted meat.
Rabbi.
We don't even eat pot roast, okay? Even though pot roast was not permissible for the Korban Pesach, but anything that even resembles it. So pot roast we don't eat. We don't eat anything that requires shchita. We won't eat roasted. So a chicken requires shchita. You can't eat roast chicken this night, okay? Because maybe you'll come to eat roasted lamb and say, oh, this is my Korban Pesach, right? So all of these things are reasons not to eat, because maybe you'll say, I'm eating the Korban Pesach tonight. Or you'll come to eat the Korban Pesach. So we don't eat roasted meat, we don't eat pot roast, we don't anything that requires shchita, we don't eat roasted. But that would exclude fish. Fish don't require shchita. So you can have roasted fish.
Roasted means baked, or like what exactly does mean?
What's roasted?
Pot roast.
I know, but chicken, I mean, just baking in the oven at 350 is roasted.
No, not if it's covered.
Not if it's covered. Okay. So you mean if it's got a lot of juice with it and everything, that's fine.
Yes. Yes. You don't want to leave it open, dry. That's like roasted.
It can be open. Open pot.
It can be open with juices, like cooking in juices.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay? The Chai Adam says it's a very terrible thing that we take the Zroya that's on the Seder plate, which was used for a mitzvah, and we throw it away. So he says we should make sure to eat the Zroya, but not on the night of the Seder. After the second Seder, on the second day, serve the Zroya for the meal.
Zroya, that's the shank bone.
Yeah.
What do you use as a shank bone?
I mean, you could use a chicken arm, you could use a leg of a piece of lamb, whatever it is, whatever you want to use, or a piece of meat, or whatever.
Yeah, 'cause I usually use a drumstick and take off.
Yeah, it's all fine. Okay. It's all good.
So you just use a drumstick, a roasted drumstick?
Yes, yes.
And then eat it?
The second day, lunch.
Okay.
That's right. Now, there is a minute to have eggs, okay? Eggs and salt water. Where does this minute come from?
My grandmother.
One reason is because besides eating the Korban Pesach, we also ate the Korban Chagiga. The Chagiga was a holiday sacrifice, okay? So the egg represents on the Seder plate. The egg on the Seder plate represents the Korban Chagiga. So we have an egg on the night of the Seder. Zecher le Korban Chagiga. That's one reason. Another reason, beautiful reason, why we eat an egg. What does an egg represent?
Life. Circle of life.
But we serve it at what event?
At
Avelus, morning.
Yeah.
Egg represents morning. So it's very important and interesting to note that the night of the Seder is always the night of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av and the first night of the Seder always coincide. It's the same night. So the night of the redemption is the night of the destruction. Okay? And one comes from the other. So therefore we remember Tisha B'Av, that on this night, the decree, the Gezerah, is on the first night of the Seder, so we eat an egg to remember Tisha B'Av, on this night specifically. Thirdly, that as a remembrance to the fact that we don't longer have the Beis HaMikdash, Zecher L'Churban, we eat an egg as well. Okay, three reasons why we eat an egg. So it is a strong minhag to eat eggs in salt water. Tzafun, afikomen, hidden away. Yeah.
So after everything, when we now are at Shulchan Aruch, that is the point at which, before you actually bring out the soup or whatever else, then you serve the eggs with
the
salt water?
The egg is pretty much the first thing.
Yeah.
After the hamotzi.
Okay.
The afikomen is going to be at the end. That's going to be the dessert. That's going to be the last thing that you eat. It's hidden away. There's two different minhagim. Some have the minhag that the children steal the afikomen from the parents and hide it in ransom. You find it or you're going to have to pay me something. Some have that the parents hide it and make the children find it. Whatever works for you, you can do. There's strong sources for both.
What do your kids ransom from you?
Well, it varies each year. I mean, as they grow...
They want money.
They
don't usually want money. They have other ideas.
Yeah.
Trips, things when we're in Toronto. You know, whatever it is. Yeah. Different stuff. But I like that. I think it really keeps the kids awake, because if they know that it's their job to steal it, then they're constantly trying to distract me. This one's trying to distract me. This one's coming around the table this way. It's like a whole event for them to try to steal the afikomen. And then when I have to look for it, they're all excited. Don't tell. You know, it's like where they're going to hide it. It's a whole thing. The afikomen becomes an event within the event. Now, again, when it comes to the afikomen, you have to eat, best to eat two kazesim of afikomen. And the reason is because the afikomen corresponds to the Korban Pesach. Now, when they ate the Korban Pesach, they always ate matzah together with the Korban Pesach. So therefore, this is the Rashbam holds that really this matzah that we're eating now is the main achilas matzah. This is the main matzah's mitzvah. Other Rishonim disagree, but the Rashbam holds that this is the main eating of the mitzvah's matzah. Matzah's mitzvah. So therefore, it's preferable to eat two kazesim of afikomen. You eat it leaning. If you didn't lean, you don't have to repeat it, but you have to lean. No bracha on the afikomen. You don't eat anything after the afikomen. You don't want to remove the taste of the matzah from your mouth. If you ate something else after the afikomen, you have to eat another kazayas. So that's the biggest incentive not to eat anything, because you don't want to eat another kazayas of matzah. Preferably, you don't drink anything after the afikomen. The only types of drinks that you should have after the afikomen are light-tasting drinks, such as water or teas, things like that are permissible.
What were the two Zeisim?
Because one is for the actual Korban Pesach, and one is the matzah that was eaten together with the Korban Pesach. So that's why you would eat two Kazesim of Afikomen. Chatzos. Now this is where it gets really interesting. There's two different opinions in the Mishnah. One is Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, and one is Rabbi Akiva. And they argued, until how long did you have to eat the Korban Pesach? Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, he was the one, Harei Anika ben Shivim Shana, I'm like a man of 70 years old, he was only 18 when he became the Nasi. Okay, so this is Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. He held, you only had until Chatzos, midnight, 1:31. To eat the Korban Pesach. And therefore, if you had only until 1:31 this year to eat the Korban Pesach, then you have to eat together with the Korban Pesach, the matzah and the moror, as well before Chatzos, as well the afikomen. It all has to be eaten before Chatzos, according to Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah's opinion. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva's opinion, he holds you have the whole night to eat the Korban Pesach. Okay, so according to Rabbi Akiva, it's permissible to eat the afikomen, matzah, moror, and afikomen. You have the whole night. So far it's clear. Two different opinions. What the distinctions are. We are l'chatchila going to paskin like Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. That means that we want to try to eat matzah moror and afikomen by chatzos, by 1:31. Have everything done by 1:31. Bidyeved, if you are delayed until after chatzos, we can eat, let's say, matzah. Let's say moror. You're not eating your matzah and your moror. You know, like you wash for hamotzi and the alechiles matzah and alechiles moror. You're not eating that by chatzos. Then you'll eat it without the bracha. You won't say alechiles matzah. You won't say alechiles moror. If you eat those two things after chatzos, not the afikomen. I'm talking about the matzah and the moror. Because l'chatzkila we're going to paskin like Rebbe Lazar ben Azariah that everything has to be done by chatzos. Bidyeved, we're going to rely on Rebbe Akiva, but we're not going to say the bracha if you eat the matzah and moror after chatzos.
That's the first matzah. Moror.
That's the first matzah and first moror.
But then you're saying you can't eat, the afikoman should still have been eaten before, so how?
According to Rebbe Lazar ben Azariah, but bidyeved, right. We're going to rely on Rebbe Akiva that you have the whole night to eat these things, but we're not going to make the bracha on it. That's all. Because okay, whenever there's a suffix of a bracha, we're going to be leaning with the bracha.
Afikoman is after the shulchan aruch.
Yeah.
We said all our brachas.
So according to Rebbe Lazar ben Azariah, you're going to have a short Seder.
So we don't have to go to see who has, we don't have odds the next day of who had the longest Seder?
Not at all. You don't have to do it. But I want to tell you something over here.
Yeah.
So let me tell you about the famous, what's called the famous Tanai of the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer was a very, very great sage. He was a Sachachavar Rebbe. He was the grandfather of the Shemi Shmuel. And he says like this, if you are in, you should eat your matzah and moror, no matter what, before chatzos. Okay, you're taking your time through your meal. You're in the middle of your meal, and you see, wow, chatzos is in 5 minutes. What am I going to do? Says the Avnei Nezer, do the following. You're in the middle of your meal. You should eat a kazayas of matzah at that point for afikomen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then, and you say, I'm eating this for the afikomen according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Then, wait until after chatzos. And after chatzos, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, are you allowed to eat after chatzos? Yes, you're allowed to eat. Because according to him, the prohibition of not eating after afikomen is only during the time of the mitzvah of the afikomen, which is only up until chatzos. So according to him, you can eat anything after chatzos. And according to Rabbi Akiva, you have the whole night to eat.
Right.
So then after chatzos, continue on with your meal. And then, when you get to the afikomen a second time, eat another kazayas of afikomen, or two kazayasim, as the case will be, and you say, I'm fulfilling this according to Rabbi Akiva. That way you can stretch out your Seder, and you can fulfill it according to both opinions. Make sense? I wrote that, by the way, in here, so it's in black and white. You can
good.
See it.
I'm too old for this.
Okay.
We're finished by chatzos.
Oh, please.
Borech. Okay. This cup that you're going to use now, this is the third cup for benching. Okay, after the meal, after the afikomen, needs to be rinsed out, needs to be cleaned. You pour the third cup, you bench, you make a borei priya guffin, you drink leaning, no after bracha. And this is the one time of the year when the Baal HaBayis leads the benching. Every other time he gives it to the guests to lead the benching. This is the one time when the Baal HaBayis leads the benching.
Why is that?
It's because it says that the one who has a good eye, who is generous, is the one who gets to lead the benching. It's a pasuk.
Mm-hmm.
That the one who has his tov ayin, or has ayin tov, I forget exactly the lashon of the pasuk, who... Mavurach, he is the one that gives the blessing. He's the one that leads the benching.
Okay,
so tonight specifically, if somebody else wants to lead the benching, it's not a problem. But usually the Baal HaBayis gives it to a guest on the night of the Seder, the Baal HaBayis should lead the benching.
Okay.
Hallel.
What do we do with Eliyahu's cup? At the end
right now. Right now.
At the end of the Seder, what do we do with it though?
Covered.
Oh.
When the Seder's over, the cup's still sitting there.
Yeah, you don't want to leave it. You can pour it back
in the bottle,
put some wine into it so it's not pagum. Pour wine into the cup, and then the cup back in the bottle.
Additional wine.
Yeah, but you haven't poured Eliyahu's cup yet.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
Hallel.
Why rinse the cup?
Because a cup has to be, it's a halacha. Yes, it has to be rinsed. If it has any wine in it, leftover wine, at this point, for benching, it needs to be rinsed in order to be able to do the mitzvah
properly. Just for the third cup, not for the second.
Not for the second. First cup, it has to be clean.
Right.
Okay, second cup, not. Third cup, it has to be rinsed.
Just rinsed, not
yes.
dried.
Nope, just rinsed.
And the fourth cup?
It won't need to be.
Not an issue.
Right. Hallel, you're going to pour your fourth cup, and at this point you're going to pour the cup for Eliyahu. Now the cup for Eliyahu, the reason for this is a minhag, which is just like a Kodesh Baruch who redeemed us from Egypt, so too Hashem is going to come and redeem us from this current exile. That's the concept of the Kos Shel Eliyahu. Just like He redeemed us from Egypt, He'll redeem us from this exile. Now, preferably, Hallel should be finished before Chatzos as well. It brought down in the Mishnah Berurah that this also should be finished before Chatzos. I can't ever remember a Seder in the history of the Rich family that we have finished Hallel before Chatzos. Okay, we generally, every single year, rely on the Tanai of the Avni Nezer, and that is, you know, we're eating our meal sometime in the middle, just before Chatzos, I'll eat a piece of matzah. Oh, this is my afikoman, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Wait until after Chatzos, and then eat it sometime down the road, according to Rabbi Akiva.
Do you have kazayas at this
point? You have to have a kazayas, for sure.
Only the a piece of matzah.
No, it's kazayas. A kazayas. It's a full kazayas.
But it's only the Baal Habayis, or everybody?
Everyone.
Okay.
Everyone.
Because I wasn't clear.
It's everyone.
Okay.
It's everyone.
Including women.
Yes. It's everyone. So, now that you're pouring your fourth cup, the Koshel Eliyahu, what you do at this point is you open the door, because on this night it's called Leil Shimurim, the night of watching, the night of guarding. No problems come to Klal Yisrael, the Kodesh Baruch Hu protects. So to demonstrate that we have a Muna that Hashem protects us, we open up the door. That demonstration of a Muna, in the merit of that Amuna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring Mashiach. And when Mashiach will come, so He will then pour out His wrath, His anger against the Goyim, who are afflicting the Jewish people. So in demonstration of our belief that Hashem will send Mashiach because of our faith in opening the door and trusting that He's going to protect us, at that point we therefore say, Shvoich Chamascha al HaGoyim. Pour out your anger against the Goyim. It's not that we open up the door and we say, pour out your anger against the Goyim, like we're announcing it to the world. That's not what's going on. It's like so misunderstood. You're opening the door to demonstrate. It's Leil Shimurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect us. Oh, if I demonstrate that emuna in Hashem, Hashem says, Mida Keneged Mida, you are now worthy of receiving Mashiach. If Mashiach will come, He will pour out His anger against the Goyim. So therefore, when the door is open, we say, Shvoi Chamascha, Hashem, send Mashiach and pour out His anger against the Goyim.
You say it when the door is open?
Yes. You say it when the door is open.
Boy, that's
annoying. Is that in the Haggadah?
It's in the Haggadah. No, this whole idea of what I just explained is not in the Haggadah. But the idea of open the door and say, Shvoi Chamascha, it makes it sound as if, you know, you're just announcing it to the world. There's no connection. There's no understanding of what's going on.
You really leave it open?
You leave it open, yeah.
For like a minute or two?
While you're saying this. Yeah. Then you close it. And then you say Hallel. The rest of Hallel, sitting down. Okay? Like we say Hallel and Shul. You have one person who's leading and the other people are answering. Right? Hodu l'Hashem, and the rest of the people answer, Hodu l'Hashem, and you know the whole idea? You do that on the night of the Seder.
Sitting.
So, sitting, one person leads, let's say the Baal Habayis, and then the other people will answer. And even if the other people, you have to have at least three to do this, okay? At least three. So, if the other people are preferably one person and two other males, that's the best. But even if it's a man and his wife and his daughter, or son, wife and son, you still do it like this. You still do one person leading and the other two people answering. Okay? So you say the Hallel.
There's no problem with Kolisha.
It's not singing.
It's not singing.
It's not singing. Responding. It's responding.
And this doesn't necessarily have to be led by the Baal Habayis. Can you give this honor to somebody else?
It's not an honor. It should be by the one who's leading the Seder.
Okay.
Yeah. At the end of that, you're going to make the bracha on the fourth cup. You drink it leaning, and because now you're going to make an after bracha, and this after bracha is going to cover the cup that you use for benching, it's going to cover this, the fourth cup. So now you have to make sure to drink a full revius at this point. Otherwise you can't say that after bracha, and you make the after bracha at this point.
Is halal on the website? On the audio section, do you know?
I don't know. That concludes our Seder. So you should have a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, and hopefully now, with a fuller appreciation for all the halachas of the Seder, I'm going to post this on the website. You have your accompaniment, your step-by-step laws of the Seder, which I'm also going to post on the website, and it has all the times and the amounts, and almost everything we spoke about tonight is on the sheet. Look it over before Pesach and enjoy. This is the most joyous time of the year, and it is especially fulfilling when you do it according to all the halachas and all the yidur, all the special attention to the halacha.